Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
As I walk on this journey, I'm burdened by sin so heavy. But I've heard there's one who sets men free, and so I'll keep pressing on. The narrow way leads to a mountain that few have climbed, for trials got to them. But on that hill there's a fountain that washes my sins away. Blessed cross, blessed empty tomb, blessed man, hope is found in you. What a cost you took my place, and so I'll keep pressing on. Then I come to a valley, and my fears just overwhelm me. So I pray, Lord, give me mercy, so I can keep pressing on. Across the valley, a pasture's green, quiet still waters, so pure and clean. My soul's renewed, tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord. Blessed cross, blessed empty tomb, I count as loss all things for you. Christ will come, it's not far now, and so I'll keep pressing on. And so I'll keep pressing on. Blessed cross, blessed empty tomb, I count as loss all things for you. Christ will come, it's not far now, and so I'll keep pressing on. Christ will come, it's not far now, soon I'll hear the trumpet sound, and forever I'll wear life's crown, and so I'll keep pressing on, and so I'll keep pressing on.
Jesus, I lift my eyes to Jesus. You are the one who calms my soul, because in storms you stand in full control.
Death looks like an empty grave, fear looks like a giant slain. Trials look like gifts of grace when I look to Jesus.
Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Looking Up show on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Lake Macquarie. You are listening to, once again today, on this Wednesday afternoon, April 3, to the Looking Up show. And today we have a huge, huge, huge program, as always. And we are today joined with a very, very special guest. And my special guest today that will be sharing her journey of faith, it's the fourth and final one in this quartet of testimonies. So I'd love to say we've left the best till last, but if any of my other testimonials will hear this, they probably won't be too impressed. But it's great to have Shay in the studio today. Welcome along, Shay.
G'day. Well, that's a bit of pressure. No sweat.
No sweat. We've left Shay. We're in the final stretch. We're around the bend in that last 100 metres. So we are so glad that you are with us, Shay. And, welcome to the Looking Up show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, but very nervous at the same time.
Oh, you don't need to be nervous. This is the most organic show in Australian radio by far. Isn't that right, Shay?
Yeah, first segment's always a little bit scary and then you're like, huh. Really? Okay, that wasn't so bad. I'm all right.
Exactly. And that was the one and wonderful Shell who you just heard from. So, Shell, good to have you, my friend.
Yeah, good to be here.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really, really well.
Oh, praise the
Healthy,
Lord.
Healthy, happy, all is well.
Excellent, excellent. And our dear friend Charissa, she is probably on the plane heading from
The return has started,
yeah, with her dear hubby and their precious little bubs, Judah. So they are heading back from...
Going through the horror of that trip moment.
Yes. So they are leaving the shores of that wonderful country. What's the saying again of the US? It's the land of the free and the home of the very brave. Something along those lines?
And the home of the brave, that's right.
So she's leaving and she'll be joining you next week because I'll be away. Next week I'll be up in Queensland for my sister's 50th birthday.
Oh, how exciting. Yeah, Were you supposed to say that on radio?
Yeah, I guess. It's kind of, you know, she's 50. You can't do much about your age. So, yeah, we're having a bit of a get-together up in Queensland. She lives in Noosa. Terrible place to live, Noosa.
Oh, dreadful.
And so I'll be catching up with her and my other sister up there and my dad and my nieces, and it's going to be a wonderful time. So I won't be here, but Charissa will be here, and we'll see what interesting surprises she has for us. We've got our number. If you want to contact us through text 0488817624, and we're going to come back after this song, Shell.
This is Rebecca Osborne, and she's going to be bringing us the song Praise the Lord with Glad Thanksgiving. A good song to get us started.
Amen.
Praise the Lord with glad thanksgiving, for his mercy shall endure. Praise the hope of all the living, ever faithful, ever sure.
Trusting God, more
That was Rebecca Osborne with Praise the Lord with Glad Thanksgiving from Psalms 118. This week we have a giveaway as per usual, and our giveaway book this week is called Alone with God. It is an amazing and helpful book that will draw you closer to the Lord and help you understand and appreciate the importance of having time alone with Him. We will be giving away 8 copies of this book.
Eight copies! You're in a generous mood, Shell.
Yep. And we will give the code word for that after the news in the new hour. But make sure you get your phones ready. The number is 0488-17624. 0488-17624, so that you'll be able to text in that code word as soon as we give it to you, because you are going to want a copy of Alone with God.
Amen. Amen. It sounds like a fascinating read, and one that will be a great blessing to the 8 lucky people that will be quick enough to give us that code word when we give it out, and to text it to that number that Shell has quoted. So we've got our special guest today once again. Just a reminder, we've got The Journey of Faith from Shay. She's going to be sharing her journey of faith. I heard a 10-minute segment of it a few weeks ago. Shay, when you shared back for a special Sabbath afternoon that we had here at Avondale University where you were studying, and we're going to get into that when we get into your story, and I was just captivated. And I was like, I need to hear more. Our listeners need to hear more of this story. So we're so glad that you've come to share. And, you'll be sharing in a little bit. So stay tuned for that. Don't go away, folk. What we want to deal with first now is just a couple of things. We're going to briefly take a look at some of the items making news from a biblical, prophetic point of view. There's so much. When Sharissa comes back, boy, oh, boy, have we got some catching up to do, Shell.
So much happening in America. And them being over there. I'm excited to see when they come back.
So, we've got our reporter who's been on the ground.
Yeah, and I believe Justin will be on the show with her next week.
Wow.
So the two of them will be able to tell us all about it.
They'll be able to tell us. They had a lunch date with Donald Trump and Joe Biden on separate occasions. And so they'll tell us how that all went, because I asked them certain questions that needed to be asked of Joe Biden and Donald Trump in connection with what Bible prophecy says. So Sharissa, let's see if she was able to ask those questions. Now, if you believe that, folk, you believe anything. I'm sure they will have some interesting insights to share with us on how things are going in the land of the USA. Anyway, that's for next week. But before that, just a couple of things. I got a phone call yesterday talking to my good friend Pastor Alfredo, who's the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church there in Townsville. And he said that we have listeners in Townsville who love the Looking Up show.
That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Welcome to you guys in Townsville.
Fantastic.
Good to have you here with us.
Fantastic. And hey, guys, I have some exciting news. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Oh, you're going there.
I'm going there, yeah. Pastor Alfredo's invited me August 17 weekend.
Oh, fantastic.
I will be having a special weekend series, where we're going to be talking about the things we talk about on the radio, but looking at it from, an even more detailed perspective from Bible prophecy. So, I've been asked to do a series.
How many programs?
Probably 3 or 4 or so. Yep. We're yet to determine that, but it'll be over that August 17 weekend. So pencil that in your diaries, guys. And, looking forward to meeting you in person. Now, tonight we have our one and only Robbie Bergen. And he's from the Faith Experiment, and he is going to be sharing at a free community dinner at Kingscliff tonight.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Those are always a highlight.
Really, really good. And I'll share with you what he's going to share in a moment. I was supposed to share this with you like 2 weeks ago, and I kept forgetting. And I'm like, it's happening tonight, and I better share. So if I'm sure it's not too late. You can just come along, or I'll give you the number to call in just a moment if you want to attend.
Even if you're like hours away, Kingscliff is a beautiful place. Oh, it's worth the journey. Go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's this free community dinner, so they'll feed you when you get there. At the Kingscliff, let me give you the phone number. The phone number is 02-8313-2698. So if you're in New South Wales, it's just simply 8313 2698. Give him a buzz right now and let him know that you're coming. He will be giving a presentation on digital currencies, CBDCs, prophecy, and cashless societies.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's what we talk about on the radio, which is really front and center in what's going on in, the financial world right now as we speak.
Very cool.
Very cool. So,
yeah, a couple of days ago it was an International Cash Day for trying to encourage people to use cash, all the people who don't want the cashless society. But, yeah, so I'm not sure how that went over this year. It'd be interesting to know.
It will be interesting. And I was just taking a look at this news item that came to me from ABC News, and it pointed out that Bankwest, that's the bank in West Australia. You'd be familiar with that, Shay.
I am.
Yeah. So I looked to see if they had branches anywhere else, but no, they've only got branches in WA.
Hence the West.
Yeah, Bankwest. They are the first Australian bank that will be going all digital. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I think I've been away from there for too long.
Yes, they are the first Australian bank that will be fully digital. Fully digital. So
it's getting scary.
It is.
My son came back from the States recently, and he had some U.S. currency still. Mm-hmm. He took it to his bank to change it over, yeah. And they wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we don't do that anymore. We don't do anything like that. Yeah, and they're just getting further and further away from that kind of interaction. So, yeah, it's getting much harder for people to deal with any kind of cash.
It is. And so I went to their website. And what it basically said is, we're evolving into a digital bank. As a result, we've made the decision to close all of our branch networks in 2024, this year. So there's a lot of people that are not very happy about that, especially in the rural communities.
There'll be a lot of jobs later on.
Yeah, there will be. But they give some statistics regarding their current customer base. And this is what they say, which is really fascinating. They say 97% of all Bankwest transactions now completed digitally. 97%. This is where we're going. This is in West Australia on the other side of the world, and they're going digital. They're beating us here on the East Coast. Then they go on and share this other stat. Fewer than 2% of customers, Bankwest, are visiting a branch regularly. Wow. Can you see how digital we're going, especially this new, on watches, people paying on watches. You do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Shay, how long have you been doing that for?
Quite a while, actually. I'm not... not unnew to the digital world, actually. I tried to look for my branch name. It's ANZ Online. It took me 2 hours because it's like, what's your branch name? Couldn't find it. It was just digital ANZ.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So when was the last time you walked into a bank?
Oh, a couple of years maybe.
There you go. And if you don't mind me asking, are you kind of in the 30s? Age bracket or the 40s age bracket?
In the middle of that.
In the middle of that. Okay, so see how I was very discreet with our guests. If it was Sharissa, I'd just say something completely inappropriate.
Rude.
Something totally rude. But with our guest, I was really doing my best. I used up all that mental energy to try and be as diplomatic as I could asking that question. But yeah, so you're kind of a Gen Y-er, Gen X-er, somewhere there, millennial Gen X. I'm a Gen X-er. I was born 71. So I'm like really, really super old in today's standard when you talk to young people. But you're very accustomed to, the digital world. And that's how you're comfortable with that.
I'm born in 83, and that's actually on the cusp end of, I think, what's termed
as the Zennials. Yeah, that's right.
Which is the 6-year period between X and the next one.
That's right, yes.
And so the internet came in when I was... major age of development in high school.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So I got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
My the dial-up tone.
Yes.
I can still have that. My kids don't even know what that sound is.
Yeah. And so this is amazing. So these statistics tell us, and here's just one more from Bankwest, WA branches average about 30 transactions per day. This is talking about in the bank, in person. And in regional WA, this halves to 15 a day. So if you're in the bank, you're just chilling. You're just chilling. You're just like, you could maybe spend 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know how long. Maybe we've got some customers. Maybe we've got some people in WA. Text us. Let us know your experience. You could be there as a bank teller just sitting there twiddling your thumbs for 2-3 hours without seeing a human being.
A customer comes in and are they excited or are they like, what do we do? What do we do? There's a person here.
You're almost excited to see a bank robber come in. It's like someone's coming.
Something's happening.
So anyway, so it's interesting that is where we are moving to. So folk, back to Robbie Burgenham. He's going to be talking about this. I don't know if he's going to highlight this little bit. If he doesn't, in your questions, please ask him about Bankwest. And it's interesting. And he goes here on to say, explore what Bible prophecy says about cashless societies, globalizations, and a one world government, and how they are connected to faith. And there will be dinner, interviews, and giveaways. So that number again, 8313-2698, and give them a buzz right away. And I'm sure they'll put an extra sausage or two there on the barbie for you to make sure that you're going to be fed when you turn up. Veggie sausage, a nice healthy veggie sausage, I'm sure. All right, so we've only got 4 minutes. I'm going to run through these things very, very quickly, and when Charissa comes, we're going to pick them up again. All right, so lots been happening in Australia as well as beyond, but it's interesting what's taking place here in Australia. We've got and I think we shared this the other day. We talked about, this was last week, we talked about how our government was willing to do a deal with the Greens on the Religious Liberty Bill. Have you heard of that Religious Liberty Bill? To somehow seek to protect religious freedom in Australia. But at the same time, to protect the rights of the LGBT community, trying to do both.
Yeah. That seems a little conflicting.
Yes. So
it's bothersome to have to listen to be honest.
Yes, it is. And they're trying to please both parties, and it's basically impossible to do that. And and the churches have come out and said that if the government does a deal with the Greens in order to pass this legislation, then they are basically selling out on their promise. They are being unfaithful to the religious community of Australia. And it's a betrayal of trust, to use their language. Yeah. Because it's going to get worse. Like the legislation already is not very good. Proposed, we haven't seen it. But what has been put on the table supposedly is going to really impact, especially the schools, religious schools in Australia, whereby they won't be able to necessarily employ the staff according to the dictates of their conscience and their religious beliefs and ethos, and as well they will not be able to say what can and can't be done amongst the student community in those religious schools.
Makes sense why religious homeschooling is on the rise.
Mm, yes, we talked about that last week. We talked about that last week with our special guest, Marcielle, who's contemplating homeschooling, and Charissa as well. She's got a little taker and she's contemplating homeschooling. So
the rules and the legislations for homeschooling is going to be their next.
Yeah, their next,
yeah. Thing, you know, because they need to be able to control it all, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So that's also in the pipeline. Now we've got in a couple of minutes or so, I don't know if my friend Shell can give us a few extra seconds. She's pretty good at that. If she can, that'd be great. If not, we'll do our best. So we've got Donald Trump, who's come out with his own Bible. Did you know about that, Shay? Oh. Have you heard about that? she sighs, what next? Just when you thought you'd heard it all.
Oh, you know, I saw him hold a Bible once and that just made me turn it off and go, I can't handle watching this man with any kind of religious material.
That was during the height of those protests. In front of the church.
In front of the church. Yeah.
Well, he's gone one step further. He's come out with a King James version of the Bible that's called the God Bless America Bible. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up, Shell. Have you heard about it? You have.
I have, yes. Yeah, we were talking about it on the breakfast show a bit.
You think this is kind of like a bit of fake news and, ultimate misinformation, but it's true. And it's the God Bless America Bible. He's got the Constitution in there, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, the God Bless USA hymn or song or whatever it is, and he's promoting it to everyone for $59.99, of course. And but what's interesting, the rhetoric. He gives a 3-minute blurb on promoting this Bible, and he says everyone ought to have it in their homes. We need to bring God back into the nation. This nation needs Christianity more than anything else. We need to bring religion back into government, sister. This is what he's saying. That sounds like Revelation 13 on steroids.
It's taking advantage of people's hope in the world.
Absolutely. So he sees himself as a savior to the religious community. So there's a whole heap more that we could be talking about, but looks like we're going to be going to some music, Shell.
Jaden Lavick.
And we're going to be coming back with a heel heap more news next week.
The song Come To Me.
What do you do when it rains? Where do you go when the world falls on you? Who do you call on when all your hope is gone? All your hope is gone. And what do you do in the pain? Where do you run when you're thirsty again? Who do you cry out to when all your strength is gone? All your strength is gone. Who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, my yoke is easy, and my burden it is light. When all you can do is fight to hang on, why do you feel like you can make it on your own? Who's helping hand? Hold on to his helping hand. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, my yoke is easy. There's rest for your soul. Come and rest your weary soul. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, my yoke is easy.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Faith looks up.
You're listening to the Looking Up Show on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Lake Macquarie. It's April 3, and we have our special guest, Shay, that we are going to be hearing from in just a moment. So she is ready to roll and excited about sharing. Not sure about excited, maybe a little bit nervous, but we're all excited about hearing her journey of faith. But before we do that, just a reminder that if you don't have the Faith FM app, you really need to get the Faith FM app. It's free. Go to your app store and download the Faith FM app. That way you can listen to all the previous broadcasts at any time you choose. And so there's the previous three testimonies that we've had from Marcielle, Cynthia, and Malcolm, three powerful stories of faith, and you will enjoy them, as well as everything else since we've been recording over the last 4 years, as well as a whole bunch of other programs. So go to the Faith FM website, or even better still, download the Faith FM app for that. Now, we have, Shell, our giveaway.
We do indeed. We have our book Alone with God that we are giving away 8 copies of. So if you are interested in that, the number to text is 04-888-17624. Are we giving away the code word now or should we wait one more segment.
We'll keep them.
So make
we'll
sure
keep
you
them
got
on
your
the
phones
edge.
Ready. First 8 people to text in our code word will be able to get this amazing book, which will help you on your journey of faith as well. We're going to be hearing a magnificent story by Shay in a moment. And yeah, you're going to want a book that will help you to have a really amazing close walk with God as well. And this will help you with your devotional life, your alone time with God, your prayer life, all of those things.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful news. So, folk, we're going to cut our end times and Bible prophecy segment short this week because we want to get into the testimony. There's so much more to share. There is so much going on. And just in the break there, Shay and Shell were filling me in on some of the things that have been happening here in our own backyard in Sydney and some of the rhetoric by one of the religious leaders there in one of the mosques over the weekend, I guess, and some of the things that were shared that were very inflammatory and even, you know, threatening, you could say, without really exaggerating. So there's a lot going on around the world here that is telling us that Jesus' coming is drawing near. And that's what we're excited about, Shay. Isn't that right?
Oh, amen.
Amen. And look, at the same time, I do need to share a good news story. My sister Lydia, she shared this with me. And the good news is, as this world is falling apart rapidly, there's a good news story, and that is that we are now producing food from crickets. Yes, that little animal called a cricket. So cricket protein is showing up in your food. Did you know that? Yeah.
Not just crickets. There's a whole bunch of bugs that they're using.
These are sustainably, these are environmentally sustainable foods that we're going to live on for the next 50 to 100 to 500 to 1,000 years, they're saying.
Aren't they a form of like locust, which essentially wiped out food everywhere?
Yeah, so we're breeding these things.
That's right. Revenge.
Yes. So folk, next time you buy something in a packet, I suggest you look carefully to see whether the crickets are inside or not. Now, they're obviously not alive. Let's pray that they're not. But yeah, my sister shared this with me, made with cricket protein powder. And she's sent me this website where it's legit, where they've got these products. And I'll show my friend Shay and she'll testify. Here we go. Here's one, Shay. Can you see this? This is Paleo Protein Bites. They've got cricket in them. Just to give you that extra bit of flavor, here's another one. All natural Akate protein.
The exo on the blue one, like exoskeleton. Exo paleo protein, but yeah, no, I won't be buying that.
So there you go. Look, and there's bars. There's energy bars to keep you going. You'll be jumping like nothing else.
So are these ones like actually promoting it?
Give you spring in your step.
Are they actually promoting it like as if
this is a website?
Now with our locust or
crickets.
Now with our crickets. Or is it like a sneaky ingredient?
I don't know. I think it's let me have a look. Let me have a look. That cricket protein bar. It says it. Can you see that? Cricket protein bar. Yeah, it's pretty clear. I've got dodgy eyes, but I can see it very, very clearly. So these cricket protein bars, one is almond and cranberry, another one's blueberry, goji and chia, another one's sweet and salty peanut. They've got cricket in them. So, folk, you will be, like I said, you'll be jumping for joy and you'll have a spring in your step with these cricket bars. So that's the world we're coming to. So I thought I'd share some good news to finish off our signs of the time section.
Strange news. Let's call it strange news.
Oh, boy. My sister. Seriously, my sister. Unbelievable. The things she sends for me to air on the radio, I just couldn't resist. Anyway, thank you, dear sister. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, God willing. Make sure you pick me up from the airport. Don't forget. All right, Shay, enough of all that. We want to hear your story of faith. So let's begin at the beginning. Oh. There were celebrations somewhere in Australia, I'm assuming,
yeah,
on the day when you were born back in, what, 1983? You gave it away earlier.
Yeah, back in 1983. And my nan always used to say, you know, you were born on the coldest day. And I Googled that one day and I thought, I wonder how cold it was in Manjimup, Western Australia. And it wasn't the coldest in the world, but apparently on that day, it was around the coldest time recorded ever on the temperature for the surface of the earth, mm-hmm, in Vostok Station. So a little bit of information for my life. And then I was born and obviously the sun came back out. So
talking about the sun not coming out, in the US, your part of the world, there's going to be a total lunar eclipse on April 8th. Which is next Monday or Tuesday, April 8th. Yeah, so that's like making headlines around the world and people are prepping, thinking this could be the end of the world and a whole bunch of other things happening. So our conspiracy friends, you know, they just love these events, you know, the bridge falling down there in, where was it, in Baltimore and all these things, you know, these are all just great fodder for our conspiracy friends. They just love it. So there's lots on there, and especially with social media and the internet.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, there's plenty on there. But anyway, back to your story. So you were born in WA. Yep. Manjimup, did you say?
Southwest region.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So if anyone's listening from Manjimup or somewhere around there, let us know. Send us a message that there is someone out there listening from that part of the world. It'd be really cool. 04-888-17624. Let us know. Or any comments, any questions, any prayer requests, certainly let us know. So tell us a little bit. Excuse me. That's just the Malenkov. That's my surname's Malenkov. That's okay. The Malenkov. It's just like really bad dad joke. But anyway, tell us a little bit about, yeah, just family, friends, who you grew up with, the kind of community you grew up with over there.
Okay. Well, as early as I can remember, I was pretty much grown up in the Seventh-day Adventist church. I went to a Seventh-day Adventist school. Manjimup was, it's a bit bigger now, but it was quite a small little pokey town in the southwest region. It was very cold. I went to church every week. Went to the school, which was just up the road, but it closed when I was in grade 4, I think.
Was that an Adventist school?
It was an Adventist school. Wow. I had two other children in my grade from grade 1 to 4, I think, and then I moved to a public school. But that's pretty much standard for Adventist schools around Australia. They were quite small back then.
Mm-hmm.
Some still are. But, yeah, I don't know. What else do you want to know?
So, well, I was going to ask, you went from a little Adventist school with a few people in it to a public school. What was that transition like?
Oh, yeah, that was different. So I was pretty fast and I beat the boys in my year. There were only two of them. And then when I moved to a big school, there was a lot more people in my races for carnivals and stuff like that. So I remember that being a little overwhelming. I enjoyed having more friends, I guess. I had a best friend as soon as I got there. There's not much I can recall apart from walking in the classroom and walking out every day.
Okay, which is basically how life is.
Yeah.
And I remember even in high school, I was, you know, sending my kids to Seventh-day Adventist Christian school, and I'm like, when they get home, so what did you learn today? And you know what the response was? Two words, not much. I'm like, I'm paying all this money for you to tell me you learned not much. But I guess that's just how it goes. There are few words, aren't they, teenagers?
Oh, yes.
In primary school, they're a lot more chatty. But once high school kicks in and, it's a different kettle of fish. I don't know what it was like for you, whether did your mum or dad or someone from the family drop you off at school?
Well, I actually
or did you walk there?
Walked.
Or?
So you see these memes on social media of like people trekking through rugged country, you know, perilous terrain. That was essentially me going to school.
Wow.
I walked my kids once, I think it was 3 kilometers to school, and they were dying. And I was like, this was like every day for me, back and forth, even more than that. Like, honestly, what are you thinking? Yeah. So going to and from school was always a walk, but I remember I really do remember the walk because it took such a long time in my day. And then when I got to school, I didn't really remember much else. I remember the clock and the colour of the grass outside.
That was it.
The window, yep.
That was it. That was it. Wow. No, it's not much you remember from your school days. I remember what it was like for me to transition, me myself to transition, when my kids went from primary school to high school. In primary school, I could give them a kiss and a hug before I said goodbye, have a great day at school. Yeah. When high school kicked in, there was no more kisses and hugs. That was it. It was like, see you, Dad, a little wave, and then off hanging out with the friends. I mean, as if they want their friends seeing their dad or their mum giving them a kiss and a hug and wishing them. There were some kids, but, yeah, you don't do that in high school. I understand.
No, it's a little embarrassing.
It's a little bit awkward, as they say.
We had to push the car because it broke down in front of the high school.
Oh, yeah. Embarrassing.
More than once, actually. Oh, and boy. Once in the driveway of the school.
Oh, no way. Mm-hmm. Did you just want to, like...
Die. That was social suicide.
It's like, can the ground open up, please, just this once?
Yeah.
Oh, have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, yeah, very interesting time. So tell us from your high school days and sort of teen days, tell us what was life like for you, you know, during those years, those formative years when you're trying to work out who you are, where you fit in life. And, you know, that's, you know, kind of a, can be a turbulent time. It's certainly a discovery time. What were those teenage high school years like for you?
Well, one of the big identities of my time back then was that I was a Seventh-day Adventist. And that was very contrasting in a small town when there wasn't many Seventh-day Adventists. So
you were part of a little church?
Yeah, it was a little church back then. Mm. And people didn't understand Sabbath, so I didn't do much on Fridays nights and Saturday. And so that kind of ruled out a lot of weekends. And, it made making friends a bit hard. Because everybody did other stuff and I couldn't really understand why I didn't get to be involved in that. So I kind of felt alone a fair bit growing up, even in the public space.
Mm. Yeah. So, what did you get involved in? What was life like in those high school days? It must have been some things that you did that were interesting, surely. I don't know, man,
well,
up, I've never been.
To be honest, I didn't actually have a lot of friends, and that was hard. But I kind of got used to that, and I actually left school in year 10 because I couldn't cope with not having any friends, and every day I would dread going to school because people noticed that I didn't have friends, and you don't want to be noticed when you're unpopular at the same time, so you kind of just want to hide. So I found high school and primary school quite hard. But there was sort of an expectation because, you know, I had responsibilities in primary school. For example, I was head girl, which is quite a big responsibility. And then I got to high school and zero friends. And it's like, I always find it really hard, or I sympathize with kids when they go from primary school to high school. You know, you're going from the top right down to the bottom again. And so,
it's a horrible experience.
It is. And you add to that being a Christian that doesn't have weekends. It's very lonely, to be honest.
Yeah. And because you're at that vulnerable age where you do care what your friends think about you and how they perceive you. And that's where your identity is in a big way. Regardless of what mum and dad will say, but it's what your friends think of you and how they respond to you that makes a big difference. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's really fascinating. So you left school at the end of year 10. And so, so we're going to find out after this song where to from here, because this is where the story really begins to get interesting if my recollections of that short 10-minute testimony of yours are correct. So we've got a beautiful song for you, Shell.
This is Vocal Union. He looked beyond my fault.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know
just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace shall my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He beyond my fault and saw my need. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
That was Vocal Union with He Looked Beyond My Fault. You are listening to the Looking Up Show here on Faith FM. Our number is 0488-17624. And we are going to give away our code word now for everybody so that you can get that book, Alone with God. And the code word is LU24, as per usual, and then the word story. LU24, story. And you can get that amazing book. And let's get back into our story now.
Thank you so much, Shel. So get those fingers moving. We've got 8 books, and the first 8, it will be yours to enjoy, Alone with God. And so we're here with Shay, our special guest, sharing her journey of faith with God. And so we left before that beautiful song. You had decided that school was enough for you, and you were moving out into the big world.
Yeah.
Making choices. How did all that go, and what kind of choices, and what did you decide to do, and where did it go from here?
Well, I guess one of the catalysts was that, you know, I had one parent was Christian and one wasn't. One was doing things that was probably more self-controlled, and one wasn't when I was younger. So alcohol played a part. And so I was seeing two different worlds in my youth. And to be honest, the one with alcohol just looked a lot better because that parent seemed a lot happier at times.
A lot more exciting?
Yeah, more relaxed, more chill, less pressed, you know. So I kind of lent towards that kind of freeing experience because it's what I wanted. And I felt very oppressed as a Christian in a small town and a Seventh-day Adventist as that because, you know, all the Christians went on Sunday. So it's kind of different going on the Saturday. And so, you know, I asked, can I leave school because, you know, I was getting bullied. I didn't have any friends. And I went and did TAFE for 2 years. Well, kind of. I didn't really spend a lot of time at TAFE because at this point I'm starting to experiment with that mind-freeing alcohol that, you know, I had felt was a little bit more freeing. You know, I would say I was a nominal Christian at that point because I was born into it. I would say I was a Christian. But I couldn't explain it, if that makes sense. So, you know, I knew all the stories, but Sabbath was something that I couldn't explain and therefore I wanted to leave behind. And so I was looking for a way out of that. And I come to the realization that, you know, you can worship God any day of the week. And so in leaving school was my first step towards also leaving the church. And I left home at 15 and I started studying a bit more of TAFE. I wouldn't call it studying. It was just, you know, getting paid for doing nothing, essentially, because that's what TAFE is when you're a kid. but I just wanted freedom. That's what I wanted.
So you're filling in a bit of time.
I was
TAFE.
Yeah, I was filling in
socializing
time.
Socializing potentially.
And just, yeah, I was looking for direction and I thought there's got to be more to this, you know. I don't know why I'm repeating this every week, you know. I'm by myself and then I get taken to church and then I'm back to by myself, get taken to church, and I wanted it out. So I went out and I experienced alcohol and it was freeing in a sense at that age. You know, and I understood that you could still be a Christian and have alcohol. You know, it didn't matter. So there was all these revelations happening and it was taking me further and further away from, you know, it was taking me further away from church and it was taking me further away from education. And to me, that was freeing. Mm. So off I went and it didn't take long. Didn't take long at all for the effects of that to sink in because by 17, I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was rough because I was not only pregnant, I didn't have anywhere to live. Mm. I had been shacking up in someone's property because on a futon slat and I had nothing. It was the only place I could have. And by then I was over the other side of the country. I was in Queensland, Cairns, living there. And I was 17 and...
Did you have any family and friends there in Queensland or?
No, but what I've got going through my head every time is that I was essentially told you make your bed, you lie in it.
Mm.
And so that stuck with me. I thought about abortion because, you know, that's a normal thing to think about. I'm a teenager, I'm pregnant, but there was this morality inside of me and I got to say that's God, but it was there and I could not even fathom it. Like it just didn't feel right in the remotest. So it wasn't even a consideration. It was just sort of, should I do that? That's what, you know, people do. No, definitely not. Not for me. Right. This little thing is my responsibility and it's my job to love it and it's not its fault. And I want to own that. So that's where I ended up by 17. And the next part of that journey, you know, I then got married trying to fix my mistake.
With this person.
With the father. With the father. I was trying to make a home because, you know, I want to be normal. I want to do the right thing. You know, I thought I was doing the right thing by leaving the church, by leaving a school that was, you know, just bullying. And I just wanted to do the right thing. And, you know, I got married at 19 and my partner was in the Navy. And so here I am alone because I'm in Queensland and I've got no family around. Tiny little marriage, I think it was $70 to hire botanical gardens. couldn't have my family there, which was heartbreaking. And yeah, I got pregnant with another, which was planned because, you know, I'm in a marriage now. Things were actually going pretty good. It was hard being a Navy wife, though, especially at 19.
Yeah.
I didn't exactly fit in with a lot of the Navy wives and mums because, yeah, I was quite young and that was not ideal. So I found myself, just like in school, different, you know, just like being a Christian, different. And at that stage, you know, I still had this nominal Christian title. You know, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. You know, I didn't really explore any depths to that. That's just who I was. It was part of my identity growing up. It's what we do when we grow up. You know, we form this identity at a young age, and that was mine. I'm a Christian. So I sought out another place, you know, to sort of get comfort from that, and I became non-denominational. I was actually baptized non-denominational. And, wow. The leader of that church, he baptized me, and I remember doing Bible studies with him, and they were pretty laid back, you know. It's okay to drink. It's okay to eat whatever you want. And I got to say, like, when I got baptized in his pool out the back in Cairns, which is quite tropical, it was magical, you know, euphoric, you could say. Not spiritual, just euphoric. That's what it felt like, you know, because I wanted that. I wanted there to be a space in the universe where I just felt special, you know. So I got baptized non-denominational because that was, you know, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. There is not. I can say I believe in God, but you don't have to put any rules on that. And I found
no
freedom.
Labels.
Yeah,
no
you
labels.
Know what? I can still drink and do what I need to do because I feel free when I'm doing that. You know, I was finding a place where I could do the right thing and not feel like crap doing it.
Have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah,
that's the ultimate
that's
religion.
Right.
That's like
Isn't
a smorgasbord religion where you just, you know, just put it together yourself.
Yeah.
How it works for you.
Yeah, you know, but the downside is you start feeling like a bit of a god over time. And the effects of that, as later you'll find out, they can be, yeah, confronting. So, yeah, I've reached this space and I'm going all right. I'm a Christian and, you know, there seems to be this sort of, we moved at that point.
What, was your husband on that same page with you as far as this sort of non-denominational sort of Christian, sort of quasi-Christian religious kind of
experience? He knew I was a Christian when, you know, we got together. I think right before we got married, we did some counseling with the Anglican chaplain with the Navy. He was a lovely guy. He married us. But I wouldn't say he was a Christian. I would say that he was just trying to support me.
Respectful.
Yeah, in a way. But he had a Catholic upbringing, and from my experience, there's a lot of nominal Catholics out there too.
there's a lot of nominal Christians everywhere.
Yeah, that's
Catholics.
Right.
Absolutely.
Plenty of people out there in all sorts of faiths.
Absolutely.
This is their identity, and not a lot of them know much about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you were there, and so your husband is away a lot. You've got the two little kids.
Yeah, he was away 3 months and then home 3 months. Away 3 months, home 3 months. Yep. So between the ages of 17 to, I don't know, 21, I was used to being alone. For long periods of time.
With two little kids.
Two little kids, no assistance. So
you went from like you know, a single mum to a married mum, single mum to married mum. That must have been challenging.
It was, and I still felt single, to be honest, as a Navy wife, because they're away so much. You know, he'd come home and rearrange the house, and I'd be like, you should be going somewhere because, you know, I just got used to you not being here. Now you're back. You should probably go. Can't handle it, you know. So it makes sense why, you know, Defence Force marriages are very hard to maintain.
So how did it go?
Well, it didn't last. Once we moved to Wollongong. He got a posting, which was shore posting, sorry. So, and he was a surveyor. So we went down to Wollongong where they have a base down there, and I started to get a little bit more freedom. I wanted to go back to education at that point. I wanted to become something, you know. I had the responsibility of my kids, but I was still doing what normal people do, and that is to drink on the weekends, drink for fun, and just be a part of society. You know, I'm a Navy wife. I've got all these titles and identities, but now I wanted some purpose. And so I wanted to find a job, and I decided I wanted to go back into studying, and I wanted to be a vet. So I went to Wollongong University, and I mean, I didn't even finish. I didn't get my results for year 10. That's how quick I left. But I managed to get into doing the degree of biological science.
Wow. With a year 10 certificate.
Yeah, that's not even tough.
Not even that. That's not a
And
bad
I wouldn't
deal.
Even say my TAFE qualified because I didn't finish that either. But I got in doing that, and I found it very boring. I wasn't my cup of tea, biological science. Not what it was cracked out to be. And so I switched to, drum roll, chemistry. I really like that.
You don't strike me as someone in that space at all, eh, Shell? She just does not as a chemist. But then again, you can't judge a chemist by the way they look.
Ugh.
Or a biologist.
Well, I really wanted to be a vet. And then, you know, I was actually struggling. So at the time, I have some learning disabilities now that didn't really present I guess I had them in school. I didn't notice either. You know, it's probably why the grass always looks so green and I don't remember any sounds, you know. But by the time I got to school at university, it was becoming apparent that there was something wrong. However, I just thought I'm not meant to learn. You know, I was getting tired all the time. I was trying to stick it out. And I actually tried to do university twice and pulled out both times and just jot it down to having kids and being a young mum. Because in that period, my marriage broke down and I became separated during the start or middle of my early days at university, which, yeah, was rough because, you know, it was because I'd chose to do university that it was putting a strain on the marriage, you know, not that we had a defense marriage, but, yeah, I tried to make the best of it, but I figured I just wasn't smart enough to stay in school.
Mm.
And so I gave up.
Wow, so you've given up on school,
mm-hmm,
your marriage has fallen apart,
mm-hmm.
You're a single mum well and truly now,
yep,
with two kids. You're not there for 3 months at a time, but you're permanently a single mum. This is going to be interesting to see where your life went next. So before we get into that, we're going to listen to another song that Shell's going to introduce once again.
This is Melissa Otto with a very fitting song, Don't Give Up.
Sure enough, for angels fight beside the one who desires to overcome. The victory is sure. The battle is the Lord's, and it is okay to struggle alone. It is a war after all. On his good name, just call. And don't give up. Victory is sure enough. For angels fight beside the one who desires to love. And that walk beside the Lord of love. And the Lord, he fights for you.
The number here is 04-888-17-624. That's the Looking Up number. You can text in for the book Alone with God, LU24 Story. And we are going to get back in to a very gripping story that we are listening to from Shay.
Thank you, Shell. And so, Shay, you left us before we went to that beautiful song that things were not looking good in your world, in all the different areas, things were coming apart. So where did that lead you to?
Well, I was still trying to find a place where, you know, I had purpose, I had meaning, I was loved. And, you know, when my marriage was breaking down, I was going out and looking for it elsewhere, you know, and at that point I was going for other people. And so that was another catalyst into my marriage finally dissolving. But it was still empty, if that makes sense. You know, alcohol wasn't really all it was cracked up to be to fill in the time, you know. And study didn't seem to be working. So now my focus, you know, I had ringing in my ears, look, I need to look after myself because that means I can look after my kids. Right. And I need money to do that. But at the same time, I can't sacrifice, you know, being happy to earn money. So I need to kind of do both, if that makes sense. So I was trying to find a place in the world where I could be happy, but also make a living doing it. And well, you can imagine the kind of places in the world where you can be happy and make money. There's not many. It all seems to be an illusion. But I just knew that I had to look after number one because that apparently was what a good mum does. You know, it was quite selfish, to be honest, but I actually thought that was the right thing to do. Mm. You know, all the literature out there was like, you've got to look after yourself. Mm. Go do yoga. Make yourself feel good. You can't be there for your kids if you can't look after yourself. So, but the reality was things weren't great. And I was using alcohol and then drugs to mask that.
So you added drugs to the alcohol
yes,
abuse.
Yes, I did. And it wasn't, I guess, on purpose. It became sort of an accidental thing. So I was involved in a car accident when my older two were young. And for 3 weeks, and it wasn't my own fault, for 3 weeks I didn't know if the driver of the other or the passenger of the other vehicle had lived. And I couldn't drink any more alcohol to sleep at night. It was actually really hard. And a friend had said, you know, why don't you try marijuana? It's a lot gentler on your liver. And I was like, no, I'm allergic to weed. You know, I tried it once and I totally greened out. I was like, no, I can't do that. But I was desperate. I needed to sleep and I needed not to think, even though, you know, this wasn't my fault. So I started smoking marijuana. I didn't smoke cigarettes because I was like, I don't smoke. You know, I still had those moral Christian roots in me that these things were wrong. I wanted to do what was right, but you know, I had to sort of sacrifice that now because I needed to be happy for my kids. So I started smoking marijuana and that led to a 10-year addiction. I was high functioning. I pretty much was on it all the time. And it was all because of an accident that wasn't my fault.
Wow.
And alcohol, which the world says is, you know, frees your mind and everything, wasn't cutting it. So I needed to add an extra element to that. But also on top of that, it was nice to be able to anesthetize my brain to my own reality. And that was that I was just making bad choices, you know, and that's a hard thing to admit, especially when you need to be a responsible parent. You know, and now I'm a responsible single parent. So I'm chasing this, do the right thing, or as I say, the grass greener on the other side. And I'm trying not to do the bad thing as I go. I don't want to do the wrong thing to get there, but it feels like I'm going to have to, if that makes sense, hence the marijuana enters the story. Yeah, so fast forward some time and more things start to happen. And before I know it, you know, I'm a lot older. I've moved across back and forth Australia, literally like 3 or 4 times now, trying to find a place where I can grow up and my kids can grow up and I can sort of cement my purpose in the world. You know, I can't study, obviously. That doesn't work. I need to smoke weed to be happy and have alcohol to be happy. That's okay because, you know, being happy is good for my family. And I wasn't really paying attention to my kids' life. I was just making sure they were fed, they've got a roof over their head, and that was it. That was all that was required until it wasn't. I am letting my hair down some more, you know. It's always about this being free and out from oppression, but at the same time, how can you do the right thing? It's like they just don't go together. You can't be free and do the right thing. For some reason, there's always a trade-off. Anyway, before I knew it, I was pregnant again. Now, I said to people, funnily enough, I said, look, if I was ever going to have any more kids, I'm 29 now. I said, if I was going to have more kids, I know God would give them to me before I'm 30. And I had twins a month before I turned 30.
Wow. Twins to add to your two pelicans already. One of them would have been like about 10, 11.
Yeah. You know, well, one was. One was about 11. Yeah. And the other one, she was 9. And, wow.
Twins came along.
And not only that, it wasn't to a stable relationship. I knew the guy 3 weeks.
Wow.
You know, it was 3 weeks, didn't think it could happen, and it did. And by then, now, and also at this point, I'm back homeless again, you know, because it's hard as a single woman, let alone a single female parent, to find money in this world. Or anything, I have to say. And so I'm now living back in WA. I'm in Karratha, which is a mining town in Western Australia. And I'm living in a Mitsubishi Mirage with my older two kids. And then finally I was living with a bunch of backpackers. And in that space of time, I'd gotten pregnant with twins. And you know what? It was great because I don't know if it's the backpacker world, when you're going places, the only time to let off and is to sit down somewhere and just smoke and drink, you know, because that's downtime. And so I fit perfectly here. But things still got really hard, you know, more bad stuff happened that wasn't my fault. And I've already got alcohol and marijuana. Now what am I going to use to fix the bad stuff that just happens that I don't account for? You know, I want to do the right thing. I want to be free. But bad stuff happens and I can't do anything. So at this point, I then tried ice.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried ice. And thankfully, way back to that learning disability, I learned that it wasn't really for my brain. But I didn't know that at the time. So I didn't do it for very long. But enough to have just gone down the rabbit hole because I needed to, at that point, things were so bad. You know, the world was supposed to be a place where I could be free and it gives me drugs and alcohol when I feel bad, like a Band-Aid. But ultimately, it's not really there when I need it. And I really needed it at this point. Mm. And there was no one. Funnily enough, at that point, I decided there was no God either because no one seemed to care about where I was. And I was starting to get a sense that it was all my fault, but it wasn't, but it was. So there was this, I hate the world, but I also hate myself. How am I going to get out of this? And surely with that equation, there must not be a God. And that's where I was. And, you know, I'm doing drugs that are altering my perception. And at one stage, I'm concluding that I am a God. You know, I looked up at the sky one night and I willed the moon to come closer. And I swear it did, you know. And that for me was, you know what? I have to take control. I'm completely on my own. My identity growing up, this Christian, I have to let that go. I'm going to take control. We are the gods. And this world needs to be ruled because I'm sick of it walking all over me. When I ran to it for assistance as a kid, assistance for place, for purpose, and that's where I was. I was an atheist. I was alone, very alone. Like, And I needed to fill the space that I wasn't. So I was smoking and drinking, and my kids, funnily enough, my purpose was them. Mm. Everything I did was to make sure they were okay. But there's this overwhelming sense that I'm not good. I'm not good, and I'm not going to be a good mother ever. Sorry, I get emotional.
No, well,
it's interesting, you know, every time I talk about it, you know, it's been so long. Why do I cry? And I think, you know, the trauma, right, if you can imagine a filing system in your head and a little person up there, a little you that puts things away and files them away. At this stage in life, they were so upset that they're filing away all these memories with tears. So when I talk about it and I'm pulling out these files, all those tears are coming back with it. You know, because that's a part of my life. Mm. It was very, very hard. Mm. And you have to sort of press that down. So here I am, not believing in anything, not trusting the world, not trusting family, just not trusting anything at all. And I can't seem to – I'm at the bottom. And I want it over. You know, I felt like a bad parent for my choices, but then I often thought, you know – maybe I just need to remove myself from the equation here. Nothing I do to get to this grass that's green seems to be right. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to do this moral DNA that I was born into just can't leave me alone. And now I'm torn. Like, I wanted to kill myself. You know, I said, maybe my kids would be better off if I wasn't here. And then I would think to myself, you know, well, that's awful, Mum. What would they think if their mum committed suicide? And so I'm like, damned if I die and damned if I stay alive. I was in hell. Mm. You know, you just don't want to exist. I want it to be erased, and all of my choices and my life. And I was calculating. And at that time, I just felt so foreign to everybody. I felt that nobody knew me. No one knew where I was. I was in complete darkness. And I would walk past a shop and I would look at the roof and I would think, is that high enough? You know, that if I jumped and I would hit my head at the right angle, I wouldn't live. Like, there's not many big buildings around here. Is two stories enough? No, surely it need to be more than that. But even if I jumped from one, I could just angle it right. And then I would be like, but I don't own any big buildings like this. I need to figure out how to do that. And so I would imagine myself dressing up as an electrician and going up to, you know, the clerk or the counter at a shop and faking my way into their building and saying, I'm just here to fix so-and-so, and then get up to the roof and jump off. Like, I was planning it, you know. Or I would be walking down the street and I would look at cars and I would think I could just step out. And I thought, you know, I'm imagining, you know, when they do the movies, the body rolls over the top and they're alive. And I'm like, oh, gosh, okay. So it's just going to break my legs and then I'm going to be even worse for my kids. You know, I need a bus because that would take me all out in one go. But then again, you know, I'm thinking of inertia, you know. There's a science to it. Surely I would probably live that as well. And, you know, they're not doing 110. They're doing like 30. So, you know, I was thinking about these things and it was scaring me because it was like I couldn't help but think about them. That's where my road had led me. I was literally dead.
So you're in the darkest possible hole that you could imagine.
You
saw absolutely no light at the end of that dark tunnel.
None.
And even to exit this world was a dilemma. Like, you couldn't even, like, how is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? Am I going to get there or not? Will I be in a worse situation? I can't imagine a worse situation than where you were at.
It was hard. But see, when you get to the bottom, you've got nowhere else to go but up. Mm. And things started happening that, you know, my Nana, she was a Seventh-day Adventist, right? And she would tell me a lot of stories and she took me to church. And, you know, around this time, she had a stroke. And I'm an atheist. And she had this stroke and she believed in God. and I'm already dead, right? And this woman who is so good gets a stroke. I'm like, I want to die here. And I'm starting to blame God. I don't even believe in him, but I'm so angry. I'm so angry because why do I have to be here? You know, and I did the wrong thing. She didn't.
Wow. So tell me a little bit more about your Nana's influence and also where your children were at this point when they were watching what Mum was going through. Obviously, you're older too. They're old enough. Oh, I don't know how old the little tackers are, probably very little. But what were the older two thinking and how was this impacting them?
So the older ones at that point, they had lived away from me for the first time because I'd moved to Wollongong again from WA. I'd come from Karratha all the way to Wollongong and I couldn't get a property that was big enough for the four of us. So they went to live with their dad for the first time for a whole year while I looked for a place. And so I only had the younger two with me and they were 1.5. So they knew I smoked weed, right? I mean, they didn't really understand what it was. I just smoked a lot, you know. I
couldn't
tell you what they thought. They were so young. Mm. The little ones really wouldn't remember it. And the older two, I guess in this moment, they were away from me. And I think that was part of the hard part was that they weren't with me.
Mm.
That was really cementing my failure is that, you know, they weren't taken from me. They weren't forced away, but I had no choice but to sort of let them go while I tried to find my feet.
Yeah.
And that, so I felt like I'd already failed.
Wow. So you're away from your elders too. You were in this place that you've described of darkness. And so you've got these two little bubses, I guess they're 1.5 toddlers, that you're thinking, how can I be the mum that I need to for them? There was so much going on in your life. And this was a time of the greatest darkness in your life. And you were looking to reach out. Surely this, I mean, you've tried everything. You have tried everything. You've tried to be your own God. You've tried everything, but you seem to be coming up empty every single time. Like that country song, looking for love, but in all the wrong places.
Yeah. And it felt unfair that my Nana who did good and stayed good was the one that was suffering while I had to be here alive. You know, But what's interesting is that it made me remember because growing up as a Christian, my Nana was the one that took me to church a lot. She would take me and my brothers to church every week, you know. And that was a big part of my life. You know, I remember asking her, Nana, if my friends don't believe in God, are they going to not go to heaven? And she's like, well, if you don't believe in God, no, you won't go to heaven. And I'll never forget that. I cried and cried and cried, you know, that my friends wouldn't be there. You know, so my Nana had a big impact on my young spiritual life. And so her going through this reminded me of all those times when I was little at church, all the stories and that, everything started to come back.
So the Holy Spirit was bringing things back to your remembrance.
Yep.
God. Yep. You had thought he'd left you, but he hadn't. He was there bringing things back. And this is probably a good place for us to pause in this incredible journey of faith. And we're going to hear the rest of this story after the news. And so we're going to hear how God, in a miraculous way, brought her back. Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free.
You You are listening to the Looking Up Show, where we all want to try to keep our eyes on Jesus and constantly looking up to him like a sunflower does. We have a few copies of our book left for those who would like to get it. It is, the code word is LU24 story, and the number to text in that code is 0488817624. So LU24 story is the code that you text in to the number 0488817624.
Well, you've been listening to the journey of faith of Shay, and she's been sharing with us. She could write a book, probably a nice thick book on her life story. And she's still very young, and there's just so much that she has been through in her journey of faith, and it's certainly not over. Now, Shay, as we look to sort of land, you realized that there was no way out of you trying to solve this yourself. Mm-hmm. You were certainly no God, or you weren't a very successful God.
Yeah.
That, and your nana, your grandma, had a huge impact on you spiritually, and now she is not in a very good state health-wise. All these thoughts are coming back to you from your childhood, from your spiritual upbringing. Where did God lead you to next? Because obviously God was with you. We know that you were not alone, that God was with you every step of the way. Even when you had rejected God and turned your back on God, God had not turned his back on you. He never turns his back on us, ever. He's always there. So where did you go to next in your journey?
Well, funnily enough, my journey started off with me being very angry with this God that I didn't believe in. And I hated him. I hated this God that would do this to a woman that was so good to him and so loyal. But at the same time, it made me think about him. And then it made me think about all these stories. You know, at that time, I didn't understand that Jesus was God, you know, but I remember all the stories of Jesus, and what kept spinning in my head was this unconditional love. And I'm thinking of stories like Moses splitting the Red Sea, you know, Joseph, you know, being thrown into that pit and, you know, coming out the other side, God remembering him. There were just so many stories where God was coming through for people. And I remember at that time going, if there's any answer to my problem right now, which is that I am dead and nothing, it would have to be the descriptions that I remember. And I longed for it, and I wanted it. And it got to a point where I wished like it was real. You know, because growing up, it was just part of my identity. It's who I was. But now, what was it? I wanted to know, because maybe that was the answer. But it was kind of a hope, and it was a stab in the dark, because honestly, I was in the dark. I was nowhere. And it led me to literally ask him as if he was there. This God that I had basically said I was him, and like literally. And so in the dead of the night, at the bottom of my life, I just asked the question, are you real? And he answered me. He actually answered me, and he said, yes, I'm real.
Wow.
And it was like a wave, a full wave from the top of me to the bottom that was, oh, I can't explain it. I literally can't explain it. And it was, oh, it's really hard to explain. You know, when you see images of like flying through the universe, and there's stars and colors, and it's just, it's so wonderful to see on a tiny little screen, but imagine being there. It was like that, but inside me. And I sat up, and I was like, you're real. And I couldn't stop saying it. I was like, you're real. You're real. Now, I can't explain that. The only thing I can explain that now with was that was the Holy Spirit coming into my heart.
So it was just like a wave of peace that
washed over you. I really wanted him to be real, and he was. The answer to my hope.
Wow.
Answered me and changed my life. Not only did he change my life, he changed my identity. You know, it was nominal when I was growing up. It was just a name. But now it was my face. It was me. I was being born again.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Which led me to a lot of questions because my brain was exploding, you know, because not long after that, I had the guilt of messing up my life before, but now I had the guilt of his death on the cross.
Mm.
And it forced me literally to the ground. And all I could do was say, I'm so sorry. Like, I did this. I just felt such sorrow for saying I was, like, taking his place, you know. And so I wanted to do the right thing again. I was on my mission to do the right thing, and I had to get a book and have a look. And, you know, the ending tells you everything. So I went straight to Revelation.
The book of Revelation in the Bible.
Yeah, I got a pen and paper, and that put me back to Daniel, and I did a lot of calculating, and I figured I had got the time right when he was going to come. And honestly, I literally thought I was discovering. I rang my brother, and I was like, my brother, he's real. And he's like, yes, I know. I'm like, but he's real, 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 real. And like, you know, there are numbers in the Bible that tell you, and I was like, I need to be baptized right now. And he's like, well, okay. And I was like, yeah, but didn't a guy like get baptized in a puddle? I can just do that, right?
The Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah, that's literally because I'm flicking through this book, you know, and I'm looking at the timelines and I'm like, yeah, I got this figured out. I'm doing the right thing. I'm going back to school and that is in scripture and my purpose is being reignited. And, you know, but what was so overwhelming is that all I could think about was the seventh day. And I just kept saying, it's the seventh day. It is the seventh day. That's all I kept saying. It's the seventh day. This day that I ran from, this day that sucked because I didn't understand it. It's just that's the day that you fall in line and you do what you're told because that's your life, right? No questions asked. That was the day I have to go to right now. So I needed to get to a Seventh-day Adventist church. And so my brother rang the Coromel church and was like, obviously, I'd organized someone to come and talk with me. And I am foaming at the bit to get baptized because I'm going to commit my life. I'm alive. And they took a while. They took 3 weeks. It was hell, honestly. I was waiting and I'm ringing my brother, like, where are they? But they were going through a handover between pastors. So it took a little bit for someone to actually come out. And I actually was getting angry at them. I'm like, they're not serious people. They're not going to. Do they even understand the Bible? and he's like, yes, yes, Shay, they're going to come out and see you, you know. But I had to know. At the time I was reading things like, you know, women have to put head coverings in church and shouldn't talk. And that was very conflicting because I had a lot of questions. And, you know, sell your gold. Isn't that in Revelation? Sell your gold and buy eye-salve or something else. Yeah.
Revelation 3, yeah.
So I literally got all the gold that I owned and I learned that it wasn't actually worth anything. And can you imagine the guy? Like I walked in there with my bangles and my necklaces and I'm like, I would like to cash this in. And he was like, yeah. It's like, I can give you $20. And I'm like, what? Are you for real? Okay, I ain't buying gold anymore. I'm like, and then like the eye salve. I didn't know what that was. Like I was going.
Where do I buy that?
Yeah. I had a purpose and it was to do the right thing by God. And I just couldn't help. And I needed to get to a Seventh-day Adventist church. And I had so many questions coming out everywhere that they sent someone to talk to me and it got so, like, I was asking everything that she needed to bring in the pastor and be like, I'm just going to, like, I even asked, is it okay to masturbate?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've come.
Was this a Bible work or someone that was sent out to you?
Yep. Oh, I got to that question and she's like, you know what? I'm going to get the pastor in because these are deep questions. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to, like, if you're not allowed to do that, then I need to know. Like, there are a lot of, like, I was asking everything.
Wow.
I was like a little kid.
If you ask that question, there's probably no limit to the questions you would have asked.
I was like a little
kid. Arise didn't train these kids up for that. They had arrived on their D-Day.
I wanted to know everything, absolutely everything. I had been out in the world, and it is a rough place out there. Mm. So I wanted to correct a lot of stuff.
And so I had all these questions coming out and I needed to go to church. And funnily enough, about 6 months later, the church offered me a property. And I got to have my older kids come back.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I live at the Coromandel Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're always late still, even though we're running over the driveway. But I hear that's standard when you live close to church. You're always the last to get there. Anyway, yeah, I got to a place now where I wanted to do the right thing. But not only that, I wanted to know who I was. You know, I had been filling my time with drugs and alcohol. I had been medicating. I'd been self-medicating on stuff. Music. Like, I couldn't go anywhere and do any job without having music in the background. I was filling everything. And I asked God, I said, Lord, can you make me happy sitting in darkness with nothing but me and you? Can you make me happy doing that? And he did.
Wow.
He did. I don't have to listen to music to pass time. I can go for hours in the car and listen to nothing. You know, like, he did that because I asked him to. That's cool, right?
Alone with God and being content.
Alone with God and myself and being content. He changed my life. He brought me to life.
Wow. When How many years ago was this?
That was in the end of 2014, and then I was baptized on my youngest two children on their second birthday. I was baptized at the Coromandel Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I invited all my friends. They weren't all Christian, and they came. Wow. My brother came from WA, well, one of my brothers, and I had my cousins come, and I had friends from the world come, and, like, just, yeah, I wanted everybody there. It actually filled the church.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So that was 10 years ago. And so it's 10 years since that day. Well, since that time in 2014. So in the last couple of minutes or so, how did you sense God calling you and to what over that 10-year period? Because you're at Avondale University now studying to be a minister of the gospel. How did we get to that point?
Well, it pretty much started from those questions. I never wanted them to stop. And so that weekly Bible study for baptism turned into just a weekly Bible study. And then it turned into a Bible study with other people. They called it Shay's House of Healing or Grow Group, all these different names, you know. I just wanted to keep learning and I couldn't help but talk about him. And then I looked into going into university for the third time. And at the time, I think it was 2019, ministry and theology wasn't offered as distant, not fully. And then COVID happened. And it was then that I got a very, very strong sense that I should do pastoral ministry.
Wow.
And I wanted to know for sure. So I asked God some questions and he answered me on those too, which was, you know, maybe we don't have enough time for that. But essentially, I wanted all those questions answered. So he gave me a place where I could. And I came here. And that's how I ended up here.
Wow. And so what year are you in your studies at the moment?
Oh, gosh. So I started 2021 July and I'm doing part-time. So I've done like a year and a half, nearly 2 years fully.
The four-year course?
Yep, the 4 years. So that's 8 years part-time. Yeah. But yeah, at my own pace, which is okay.
Which is great. And how are you finding the studies?
I love
it. Because you were struggling with education, but now you've found your purpose. You've found your place where God has you. And now it's all coming together?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I am where I'm meant to be.
Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Well, folk, what a blessing to hear the story of the journey of faith from Shay. And we've got a song coming up in just a little bit. Then she's going to share a few final thoughts. For those of you who may be struggling, you've got your own questions, you've got your own journey, you're wondering where God is, you may be in a dark hole. Shay's going to come after this song and she's going to share with you some good news.
Christ the risen Son and the fellowship of God the Spirit keep our hearts and minds within His love, and to Him be praise for His glorious reign from the depths of earth to the heights. Name of the Lamb. Christ eternal King, the King. May this peace which passes understanding and this grace which makes us what we His fellowship of His communion make us one in spirit and in heart, and to Him be praised for His glorious reign from the depths of earth to the heights of heaven. We declare the name of the Lamb.
Was Simple Hymns with Benediction.
Well, folk, we have come to the last few minutes of our show once again today. It's been a blessing and the time has flown by as always. Shay, we want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing your journey of faith and, you know, just going back into that filing cabinet and sharing some of those things that are very challenging to share and brings us to the surface a lot of those deep emotions. But I know that many have been encouraged. We've got Ben who texted us. He's just been so encouraged. So, and I'm sure many others. What do you want to share in these last couple of minutes or so to those who may be in a really dark place, those who may be feeling discouraged through circumstances that they may have brought upon themselves or that have been brought upon them by external influences, those who may be wondering, does God have a purpose and a plan for my life? What would you like to share with anyone that may be in that kind of place right now?
Well, you have a purpose. You are 100% loved and God is with you. And if my story is anything to go by, right, I speak with conviction when I say He is real and He is watching over you, okay? When you don't feel it, when you don't even know it, there will come a time where you'll see it. He will make sure of that. That's who He is, right? And even if you might have come to God and you might be going through rough times, like He grows you. He never lets you go. You know, that was 10 years ago that happened for me. I haven't been a perfect Christian for 10 years. I haven't been riding this emotional high all this time. Life still happens. I'm still in a world that wants to fix everything and trust that God's actually got control, right? That can be very hard to do. And so I say to you that He has control, right? You can let go and it's okay. It's okay to feel. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to even get mad at Him, right? He just wants to talk to you. He just wants to listen. He is there. And I can wholeheartedly with my life attest to that. You know, you don't have to go through things I did. And if you are, it is guaranteed there is hope.
Hope. There is hope. I love that. And you cannot be so far away from God that He cannot reach you.
Never. Never. I was dead. I mean, how much further can you get?
Sounds like what the father said about his prodigal son. He was dead and now he's alive.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. So, yeah, there's a big celebration going on in heaven right now as the heavenly beings are hearing this testimony again. And, you know, I'm sure many have been blessed by hearing your testimony this afternoon. Thank you so much for coming. I want to have a prayer for you, Shay, as you continue your studies and motherhood and just living the life God has called you to live. And I just pray that God will bless you and lead you as you minister to countless others out there. So let's pause and pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for your grace. We want to thank you that your hand is not short, that it cannot save. We want to thank you, Father, that regardless of how low we may feel we have fallen, regardless of where we are at, you are there for us. You never leave us alone. You're always there seeking to win us back through your love. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Shay. We pray that you'll bless her in her studies. Bless her as a mother, as a parent, as a sibling. Bless her as a member of your family that is seeking to win others into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this calling you've placed upon her life. And I pray, Father, we pray that you will continue to use her and her story to reach many others for your kingdom. And so, Father, be with all our listeners as well. Wherever they've been listening from, we pray that you'll guide and bless them and their families and draw them all closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folk, until next week, remember, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up. God be with you, and we'll see you next week.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. When there's pain deep in your heart, keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Your name. ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the